Okay, yes, this is the voice of Hanoi. The voice of Hanoi. Calling the capitalist degenerate student scum of America. You have no chance. Go on, ask me a question.
My name is Steve Kreitzer. With me in the studios tonight on Turmoil, one of England's leading ranting poets, Mr. Seething Wells. How you doing?
Not so bad, actually. I'm having a fine time here in America. It's great to be here. I think your police are wonderful.
You're here for the New Music Seminar.
Sort of.
And you're doing a little tour, I guess, of North America.
No.
No?
I'm doing a tour of New York. Which is America, really, isn't it? I mean, let's face it. And then I'm going to go to San Francisco, and I'm going to hang out on the beach, as they say.
So this is a holiday in the sun for you?
Kind of. It's a cheap holiday in somebody else's misery. Because in Britain, we know that culturally America is the third world. So the same way you go to the Bahamas, right? We go to America, we hang out. We take the mickey out of Americans, because as you do know, it's a clinical fact, Americans do have smaller brains than Europeans. we have a fine time.
I
didn't mean that, but I love America. I think Americans are cool.
Yeah, so or else you'll be walking home tonight.
It's just a government I don't like. Anyway, go on. Anyway, yes.
Not too many Americans like our government either.
Good. Well, you know, just a revolution then. Okay, anybody out there for revolution? Go out now. This is about gun control. Every family should have a loaded AK-47 under the stairs, okay? Good stuff. Right, ask me a question.
Compared to the other rant poets, your type of poetry has more of a humorous side to it than
my stuff is extremely humorous and political. I am a revolutionary socialist and a member of the Socialist Workers' Party, which over here is the International Socialists. We're a bunch of Trotskyist maniacs who are out to eat your children. I have a big genito anal fixation as well. I like poems about, you know, massive genitalia and the like, which is why it's going to be a real problem for me to actually do anything on your little radio show, isn't it? Sorry, I've got to stop doing this and put people down. I mean, it's great to be, it's a real privilege to be and go out and buy my records. I haven't actually got any, but if I did, you know, this would be a great opportunity for you actually to go out and buy some. But go on anyway.
You do have
I write for the New Musical Express in London, England.
Trashy paper, I hear.
Trashy
little your version of the National Enquirer.
It's like the National Enquirer, but headlines aren't quite as exciting. I like that. The Weekly World News, 170-year-old woman worships Satan. I thought it was quite good. She sold her soul to the devil. It's a bit of backmasking. A joke for anybody out there on cocaine. Yes, go on. Let's do it. Say you meant to talk on American radio really fast and gibber really incredibly fast. Nobody can say you're talking absolute rubbish, but go on.
Well, this all relates to your style, though, of
style.
Ranting poet. It's more as
let me explain.
Thrash poetry, let's put it
there.
Yeah,
let me explain, right, okay. And the jazz, right, yeah. You basically two sorts of jazz involved. There was, like, the quiet jazz, yeah, which was sort of like for playing in brothels, ding-ding-ding-ding in the background, right, yeah. And there was the raucous Dixie sort of like, gawk sort of stuff, which you played in bars and people getting glasses ground in their faces and bottles broken over their heads and like John Wayne fight scenes. Like ranting poetry, right? We started playing with punk rock bands and you go with the punk rock bands and you go, my love is like a barge upon the Thames. No one's going to flip in here. You're going to be drowned out in a tunnel over flames. We had to shout and bark and get the stuff over. Poetry in England is largely stuck back in the Hearts and Flowers 1960s, very personal, blah, blah. But we wanted to talk about poetry. We actually like early punk rock, like bands like The Clash, actually took on issues, actually tried to be entertaining, dynamic, exciting, and whatever, you know. So, go on.
So you actually started out in a punk band?
I said I was in Helen Keller's Iron Lung for a bit, but we weren't very good. And so me and a geezer called Little Brother decided that we were going to do poetry on stage, following in the footsteps of John Cooper Clarke, who was a genius before he discovered a certain substance, which I've probably mentioned on the air, would cause him to be arrested and deported from the country. Let's scrub that bit, shall we, all together. He's a great guy, John Cooper Clarke. Doesn't do any heroin at all. No. We basically attended poetry readings where real poets would get. They get there with their beards and their glasses and their sort of long hair, and they sort of like... You know, the sheets of paper and they read from it. It was really fun. We get up there and we start strangling people in the audience, you know. It was fun. It was whatever. This is when we were young and full of vim, or full of spunk. We can say the word spunk over here, can't we?
Yes.
Because spunk over here just means vim. Spunk in Britain means semen. So spunk, 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 spunk. Up yours, FCC, right? Let's go then.
Why don't you
bugger? But that's a very rude word in English. We can say bugger as well. So bugger spunk. Great. There's always, God, gosh darn it. I wish you say something rude and American. Okay, here we go. Toilet. Now, I love that, right? the word toilet in America, everyone goes, can I use your bathroom? But the word toilet over here is like, you know, it's like the rudest thing you can say. It's like, I'd like to beep your little girl in the head, you know? It's like, it's the rudest thing you can possibly say, so.
Do you have an example of one of your poems here?
Well, what would you like me to do? I mean, you've already got some of those on tape, which you can play later on anyway. Yeah. I'll do something called...
Well, give us some new stuff. That's the old stuff.
New stuff. I mean, new stuff. Stuff you haven't heard, right?
Yeah? Yes.
Stuff you haven't heard. Okay, this one's is as old as hell, but you haven't heard it. It's quite good. It's called Tetley Bitterman. Now, let me explain what Tetley Bitterman are, right? You know, like the swine you get in Budweiser adverts, and they're sort of like the... You know what I mean? It's about beer heads, okay? Basically, it's called Tetley. And we have a big problem in the north of England. You ain't going to get a lot of this because it's done in like the Northern English vernacular, but that's your problem. Okay, here we go. There were three of us and ten of them, but they were puffs and we were men. Tetley, Tetley, Tetley Bittermen. Cap T-shirt, cap teeth, permed hair, moustache, Mako stare. You don't mess with Tetley Bittermen, we're here to stay, pal. If you can't be, just run away. Imitation Yorkshire men, they roam the streets in packs of ten or more. Depending on how tough they feel, which depends on how pissed they are. Adverts make converts to the Tetley Bitter cause. If told that bestiality was butch and killing kids was cool, there'd be no brats on Northern Street, just sawing smiling puppy dogs and packs of Tetley Bittermen. Joshua, Joshua, sweet as orange squash you are, get it up and get them in. Only puffs drink lager. Only southerners and women, which is the same thing anyway, drink gin. Real men, working men, swill pints and pints of bitter and mild, hard of cock and stern of jowl. They prowl the streets like rampant bulls. The poor, pathetic, pissed up fools. 9 pints a night and fat at 40. Shredded liver and sewered mouth. But hey, you don't mess with our Tony. Cos he's hard, even if he's half-dead. Pisshead he may be, but he's in good company. He's a Tetley Bitterman, he's beep hard. Football on Saturday, sex on Sunday, work on Monday, disco on Friday. We're here to stay, pow! If you can't beat us, run away. Hear the Tetley Bitter call and piss your life against a wall. There you go, that's an example of us, the sort of thing we do as ranters.
As ranters,
let me explain what ranters come from.
Explain that, yes.
Ranters, okay. In the England had a revolution, a bourgeois revolution, same as you had a bourgeois revolution in America, actually put the middle classes in power. About 1640, 1650, around then, where Oliver Cromwell came to power. Now, the trouble is when you have middle class revolutions like happened in France, is that the working class, the peasantry, you know, the artisans, right? They say, hey, yeah, freedom, liberty, democracy. So let's take over the farm, let's take over the land, let's get control of things. And groups called the diggers actually it was like a communist cells took over farmland and try to run it on a free and equal base. And the ranters were these religious maniacs who actually believed that the English Revolution was like the apocalypse, was like the rapture. The rapture was coming. Does that sound familiar at all? You know, like they were reading into their history. But unlike the vermin that you have now, that are the fundamentalists in America, right? Yeah, these people were radicals. They were revolutionaries, which is something I think the Protestant fundamentalists have forgotten. That you know. They look at their own history. They have been revolutionaries in the past. Now they're a force for reaction, whatever. And the ranters were so cold because they get up at meetings and they just like preach, you know, communist revolution. This is like 1640. You know, this is when most Americans were still living in mud huts, you know. What's that mean, living in mud huts? You know, when America belongs to the people that actually own the country, right, rather than the European scum who came and took it off them. Okay, dude. Those are the ranting. That's where the term ranting poetry came along, you know? The idea that you just, like, manically babble.
So how did it evolve, though, from the punk? You just wanted to keep the pace going, but...
Well, none of us could play instruments. We always mean punk rock. What punk rock
So actually, you're frustrated
us,
musicians,
yeah.
Basically.
Hey, who's talking here? Hey. But yeah, in a way, yeah. Everyone wants to get a guitar. Cause you can
so that's why you became a writer, though, too. Writers usually, you know, from music magazines, usually frustrated musicians, so it's all related.
Well, I'm not really a frustrated musician now, because I don't fancy spending 5 years bobbing around in a transit van, you know, from, like, gig to gig, up and down freeways, stopping off at, you know, 7-Elevens to eat. I mean, yeah, disgusting lifestyle that the average musician, which, you know, of the sort which you play on your show, has to live, right? It's a really hard, grotty life. And, you know, what can they do? The choice is either you carry on doing that for the rest of your life, which you need a lot of commitment for, or you sell out at some stage. So the idea of being a punk rock musician faded pretty quickly when you'd actually seen a bit of that lifestyle. And so you know, you can just babble, and anyone can do it. You just get up there and scream your head off. Just say what you have to say, you know. And plus, I think a lot of it is damn good poetry as well. Can you say damn?
Right
oh my
ahead.
God, he said damn on the radio, Wilmer. Ah! For instance, right, let's get on with it. Let's take the word ass, right, yeah? Now, the actual word is arse, right, but the Americans have changed to donkey. Let's take the word rooster. What is a rooster? A rooster is a cock. Let's not mess about it. The Americans have purified their language. It's like it's very nice and squeaky. I like that. I like a country that actually goes out of its way to get rid of all the rude words. Ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Okay, next question. Is the Rand poet experience still living on in England? It seems like, you know, most of the poets who are around today are Taylor the Stockbroker, yourself, Nick Totrick, all evolved back in, you know, punk's early days. Are there new artists coming out,
poets coming out? Well, you know, the impetus sort of like died off. I still do it. Nick Totchester does it. Little Brother still does it. Ginger John the Doomsday Commando still does it. Jules still does it. Benjamin Zephaniah still does it. The best people have survived and carried on, but there's not so much of a movement now. Not much of a feeling of like solidarity, but because it's a bit like, you know, punk rock. You either sell out or you. I mean, I work for a living. I'm a hack. I'm a writing journalist, and it's hard work because to survive doing it, you need to do lots of gigs to make money, and to do gigs, you need a manager and an agent, and that's like a full time job. And I just didn't want to handle that in the end, so I just do now gigs when I'm invited over. So I'd like to thank this radio station, Turmoil, for paying me the $4,000 to actually come here and talk to you today. Hey, you wonder where your money goes, you students? It's spent on people like me. And I spend it on drugs and child porn. So think about that, right? Yeah. That's a lie, by the way. I have not been paid anything for this. It's disgusting. I've been ripped off here.
Put these magazines away, then. You're here for the New Music Seminar. You've written a little introductory piece for that.
Would you mind reading it?
I'll
do that, then. This is like written last night, right? I was out of my box on Diet Cola, so it probably isn't going to make much sense. Rummage. Here we go. This is about the New Music Seminar, you know. It's a great thing. Here we go. Now, he's going to have to put loads of beeps into this, right, yeah? So, because it's full of really incredibly naughty words.
Do you want me to put the beeps in?
Hey, kids, swearing isn't very grown up, and it's not very clever, so don't do it. So you have to put the beeps in afterwards, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Seething Wells Experience. Now, what is the Seething Wells Experience? Well, it's like being butt-f***ed to a bloody pulp by a raging bull caught with a hammerhead shark for a cock. It's like wading knee-deep through a sea of used condoms, casually tossed aside by the Gaddafi-trained lesbian terror squads, whose mission it is to inject infected semen into the arteries of the common mind. It's like choking on the mottled c*** of Donald Trump as, dressed in the sexy and exciting costume of the psychopathic vigilante Bruce Wayne, he slowly rots on the hastily erected gallows in People's Park. Basically, it's about love, ladies and gentlemen. Love, love. Love, love, love. And I want you all to reach out now and touch your radio. Feel the love oozing forth. Because this is the New Music Seminar. A potpourri of gibbering pissant baboons in bad suits, zit-crated stammering scribblers, paid liars, the dumb, the deaf, the rickety-stricken scum-sucking snakes of A&R, the hyenas of hype. Lost my place here. The jaded jackals of counterculture, the revolutionary guards of the jihad against decency, ex-punk rockers desperate to work like performing dogs in the swirling cesspits of MTV, professional martyrs on the splintered cross of censorship, mini capitalists, proto capitalists, hippie capitalists, punk capitalists, capitalists with hearts of gold dedicated to charging you a fair price for when they sell you back your own culture in the prepackaged packages of plastic crap that passes pop in the post-punk pre-Holocaust vacuum situation. We are gathered here today in the festering bowels of a system succored and sustained by the degradation, humiliation and dehumanization of the working class through means of wage slavery. We are gathered here to encourage the growth of new music. Fucking A. 20,000 Elvis impersonators fresh from the New Jersey Supper Club circuit will tomorrow pay $125 apiece to wrestle in blueberry-flavoured amphetamine jello with 15,000 English music journalists in front of an audience composed entirely of lizard brain video jocks in socks and sandals. And remember, we don't say inefficient, we say independent. We don't say unpopular, we say alternative. We don't say toilet, we say bathroom. And so, as the putrefying remains of a counterculture stinks up the galaxy like a bum-barfing cosmic brontosaurus with cancer of the colon on a strictly beans-only diet, as the concept of independence squeals and bleats like a newly born baby lamb about to have a 3-inch steel bolt blasted into its woolly vegetarian head in the slaughterhouse of idealism, let's take a look at tonight's acts. Tonight's acts include Karen Finley, who will squit live lizards and spiked watermelon slices out of her ass whilst humming Holiday in Cambodia as a protest against gentrification. Andy Warhol, in his first public appearance since his death, will be squitting cans of delicious Campbell's soup. Mmm, love swabbed that taste out of his ass whilst humming a Velvet Underground medley as a protest against the murder of 7,000 Chinese communists by the geriatric Stalinist and state capitalist scumbags of the Peking Politburo. Sonic Youth will stun, shock and stagger us by splitting detuned guitars out of their pink little asses whilst humming edited highlights of Kylie Minogue's I Should Be So Lucky as a celebration of the fact that the USA now has a drug dealer, a gun runner, a murderer, a torturer, and a ferret fucking son of a dog sucking skunk as president. Yay! This is New York, ladies and gentlemen, the city where drugs are unnecessary, where the air is so heavy and heady that hallucinations involving thousands of homeless people crushed down and addicted to government-supplied crack are commonplace, where the TV's in the hands of surrealists with absolutely no shame, and where pink-eyed albino alligators glide through the liquid sewage that chokes the streets. Thank you. What do you reckon? Was that a piece of rubbish or what?
Totally. More like an editorial than actually poetry.
I think it's poetry. This is the idea. I'm trying to get away from rhymes now completely. I think it's like you play Casual Sex, the Mutant Killer Sloth.
Right.
You have to inject the rhythm to it. Maybe when I've worked on that a bit and got some, you didn't like that at all. Oh, sorry about that. I apologise. I think New York's great. I love it.
When you're writing your poetry, do you hear music in the background to pace yourself, or
no,
do you just write straight off?
Nick Tocek does that,
right.
But I don't do that at all. It's a poem about Dan Quayle, right? Yeah. It's called "I Hate You, Dan Quayle. I Hope You Die of Cancer." Thank you. I hate you, Dan Quayle. I hope you die of cancer. Or when you phone the hospital, there's no one there to answer. Thank you. Okay.
How long did it take you to work on that one?
That was 4 hours. That's four or 5 hours. This one's called Poor Old Grace of Monaco, What a Horrid Way to Go. Now, a Rover is an English car. Let's get that straight. Made by British Leyland, a fine car. And she, you know, Grace of Monaco died in a car crash? Tragedy. Yeah. Poor Old Grace of Monaco, What a Horrid Way to Go. There she sat in her Rover without a care in the world. Then next minute, before she knows it, she's splattered all over the road. I like that one. I like poems about dead people because they can't sue, basically. Do I have any more?
You like picking on celebrities, I guess, the upper class. Some of your poems hit the upper class against the lower class.
Let's talk about the upper class. Let's talk about the ruling class, right? The ruling class are the people who own the means of production. We're talking about people like George Bush. We're talking about the people who employ you. The people you are going to be working for, you know, the scum, the vermin, the slime of history. I like doing poems which are actually trying to attack them, but you got to entertain. The politics comes second. You must entertain. If you don't entertain, then you failed. You know. Was that? I don't think you liked that piece. That last piece.
I thought it was very interesting.
Interesting. I like that. You have to be interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what is your feelings about these new music seminars, being a writer for New Music Express?
Well, okay, let's talk about the idea of the alternative, right? I don't think that a counterculture, an alternative culture, can exist for any length of time, because to sustain an alternative culture, you need an alternative economy. And one thing capitalism does not tolerate is an alternative economy. You've got to look at Virgin Records from the 1960s and the 70s, Rough Trade from the 70s and the 80s. There's always this push on you to become efficient or go under. But becoming efficient means you pay as wages as low as possible, you know, and if there's a squeeze in profits, you sack people. You act like a scumbag. And that's what capitalism's all about. It's screwing people over. And if you play the game, if you're a small-scale capitalist, then you eventually are going to be faced with some real contradictions, some real choices. Some people like Ruth Schwartz and Modern Records try really hard, they struggle, and they keep, you know, they keep the straight and narrow, and they try to stick to their ideas, but they find it hard. Some people like Rough Trade, some people like Virgin Records, they sell out, go for the big bucks. So the old idea of the music seminar, I mean, you know, $175 a ticket, I mean, what's going on there? You know, it seems to have got a long way away from the original ideals that were around in 78 around punk rock and that whole thing. But what the hell, I work for a magazine that sells advertising space to major record companies. Let's just talk about major record companies. Major record companies, I mean, they didn't actually turn up on the scene until the 50s, yeah? What they actually realised was you can sell people baked beans, you can sell people bathroom paper, you can sell people you know, anything. So why not sell them back their own culture? That's what the record industry is about. It's selling you back your own culture. They take your music, the music you make, or, you know, your class mix, and they sell it back to you. And they make money out of it. And that is weird. That is surreal. We live in a very strange world, you know?
But music also does affect culture, the way people dress, the way people think, too. No. Doesn't it forge new ideas, some types of music?
Listen, during the Russian Revolution, they used to have these entertainment trains, like troops of actors and bands and stuff, and they used to follow the Red Army around, right? The Red Army didn't follow the musicians. You get what I'm getting at?
Right.
Right. Music is important because, I mean, for God's sake, if we can just corner off a little bit of the culture and say it's ours, and we run it by our rules, right, yeah? So everything isn't MTV. Everything isn't candy floss and gunk and the trash that passes for popular culture in Britain and in America, right? We can just have a little bit of it that actually says something that is real, and that's worth it. That's worth having. That's worth fighting for. But it's not, you know, I'd say when the revolution took place in Russia, and before everything went sour under Stalin, there was a massive, it was punk rock, there was a massive explosion of like art, and people who didn't even know they could write or sing or draw went out and did it, right, yeah? And I want to see a sort of society where everybody's an artist, everybody's a musician, everybody's anything they want to be. That's what I call socialism, you know? Where you actually, human history starts. And that's why you have not got socialism in China, and you have not got socialism. Oops, I just banged the microphone here. In the Soviet Union. I mean, that's what ranting poetry is about in a way. But eventually, I got to realize that I wasn't going to change the world by reading poems off stage. So that's why I now work for the rudest word you can say in American radio, a revolution. My God. Yeah.
Do you enjoy putting down other bands, reviewing other bands?
I love slagging people off. But there is, you think being a music journalist is easy, right? You think it's easy? There's a band called Chicken Ranch from Leeds, and I reviewed them, and I thought they were, as you say in America, the pits, as our American cousins say. They were really, really, really bad. And I wrote a review of them, and I said, no, this is the, and the lead singer was a little fat guy, so I took the mickey out of him for his beer belly and everything. And then I'm at this, the 1 in 12 club, which is in Bradford, which is this anarchist club, which is a real, probably the finest venue in Britain. And this guy walks up to me and he waddles up to me and he comes up to my chin, right? And he goes, you remember me? I said, no. I said, no. He said, I'm Stig from Chicken Ranch. I said, oh, I said, you slagged us off. And he said, oh, I said, what are you going to do about it? And he said, well, I'm not going to do anything, but he is. And he pointed behind him. It was the bass player. The bass player was 6'7" tall. You know, he had like rocks up his arms. So that was quite frightening. Eventually, I said, ha, ha, ha. I became automatically from being like a hard man to being a coward. So that was quite fun. Should I do another poem?
Sure.
We got time for another poem? Okay. This is a real life story about a gig I did in Leeds, and afterwards the man who booked me wouldn't pay me my £5, that's $10 to you, because he said I was too political. I later found out he was a member of the National Front, which is the equivalent of the American Nazi Party. It's called Ha Ha Ha. The greaseball spivboy slobber got me the 10-minute slot of so-called poetry reading, and a third-rate rot-ridden half-empty hand punk weak beer bordello sidles up and dribbles in my ear. I thought you said you weren't political, you shit. Oh dear, I'm afraid we can't use you again. The views you express go against the wormy beer vomit bigot so great at this fine establishment. You might hurt the feelings of someone we need, like local Tory dignitaries, or maybe member of the Nasty Association of Right Wing Dog Molesting Child Killing Wife Bashing Fascist Rich Pig Thug Club. And we couldn't have that now, could we? I really like some of the poems though, especially when you said tit. So with another one, I really came with excitement, but drop all the politics, all that boring commie sh**. Decent pint and a bag of crisps that decent folk and a decent pub want to smell our taste. So shut your face and tell us some funny ones. Some belly laughing ho ho, Bernard of fat gut mannerisms, son. If you mention sex and I'll piss myself silly. Pissed up and grinning clientele. Jokes about the Jews always get a laugh or two. Auschwitz is always a real bloody screamer. Party hats who raise a sharp trickle red stream with top rosy cheek cackling idiot grin vacuum heads. The clotted gin and coke set. The National Socialist Office Workers Party night out once. Entertainment from their bought and paid for pet poodle prostitute poet. He makes them laugh. Ha ha ha. An instant cure for mindless fun is to drown the gibbering mindless scum in deep rum baths of their own warm blood. That's my idea of fun. Thank you. Woo! Woo! Rock and roll! Woo! It's really great to be here. I love you, England. Whoa, Manchester. American bands, when they come over, they are hilarious. They suddenly go, hey, England, how you doing? Woo! And you go away. You know, do me a favor.
They're all prepackaged and planned out.
Man of War. Whoa. Death to fuck, man. Great. Sir Ozzy Osbourne, that was a great
band. What about one of your local bands, The Cult?
The cult. Well, I used to live with Ian Asprey. Ian Asprey, the cult. I saved him. He's really a red Indian, he says. He was actually brought up on a North American Indian reservation in Canada. I saw he says, but he tells fibs. He lived next door to one. And he has baggy brown underpants. That's what I meant. He said in my room we had great sex and he wore baggy brown underpants. No, actually, we didn't have sex at all, but not for the want of trying.
What are your opinions of, say, like America's version of some of the Rand poets? Say, like
America, like Jello Biafra.
It's Jello Biafra for one, yeah.
I think Jello Biafra is a genius. To tell you the truth, he's mad, but he's definitely a genius. And I love his spoken word album stuff. It's different. It's more laid back and it's more considered than what we do. So it's not frantic enough. I've seen Peter Plate from San Francisco. Is that his name? He was really good. But why I like playing America is it's like starting all over again because no one's heard the stuff, no one's heard the style, no one does this style over here, I don't think. So it's good. It's
what kind of reaction have you gotten? Is it sort of like, who the hell is this guy? Or
okay, when I played in New York about 3 years ago, I mean, New York audiences, can we say suck? Is that rude?
Go
they
right
suck.
Ahead.
What they suck, I don't know, but they suck. Hey, Limey suck. Suck what? I don't know what they suck. They just suck. Goddamn limey asshole coming over here, drinking his funny, putting down my country. Yeah, love it or leave it. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, I played New York. I played New York. Hey, goddamn, book him. Book him, Dano. I played New York and it only said, and I played San Francisco and it was like an art gallery. And I went up there and I just ripped him to shreds, man. And hey, dude, really enjoyed it. And I played a punk rock gig and I had a punk rockers nestled around my feet. And I preached the inherent historical truth of Marxist-Leninism to them and planted little seeds of discontent. And they went home and said, Mommy, I ain't not going to do this washing up. You know, so what the hell? That's what I like about American punk rock, yeah. You know, these kids on the rap, these rappers, and talking about life on the street and oozes and crack and, you know, and you get, like, these hardcore bands and they go, I ain't going to do the washing up! No way! You know, it's like, it's the suburban rebellion. Like, no, I will not tidy my room up, Mommy! No way! You can't make me, you fascist pig! I love that, you know? What have you got to rebel against? What have you got? James Dean, what a creep, you know? I'm glad he's dead. I'm glad James Dean's dead. I mean, that film was rubbish. Don't you think? Rubber that, of course? Crap. Great film, and Grease. Remember Grease? Tell me more, tell me more. Probably the best film America's ever made, apart from Apocalypse Now. You know Apocalypse Now? Marlon Brando goes, you're an assassin. And Martin Sheen goes, no, I'm a soldier. And Marlon Brando goes, you're neither. You're an errand boy. An errand boy sent by grocery clerks. I mean, why didn't say clerks, the way it's meant to be pronounced? But I like that. You say tomato, we say tomato. Let's call the whole thing.
It took us 200 years to ruin the language, I guess.
No, you've improved in it. I mean, bazooka. And the swear words, like mother, beep. That's a really good swear word, you know? And beep sucker. I mean, that's great, you know? I mean, who doesn't it? I mean, anybody who doesn't suck beeps is a complete, you know, wanker as far as I can. Basically, anybody who doesn't suck beeps is a complete mother beep, you know? It's great. And bazooka, what a great word, bazooka. And chill out, and dude. I love it. American slang is really enriched the English language. Bouncer. In England, we say chuck her out, but bouncer's a much better word, you know? For somebody like who breaks your back at a punk rock gig. I love it. I mean, American English is like Charles Bukowski. Check out Charles Bukowski. Check out Norman Mailer. I mean, you're talking about some of the best written English in the world. It comes from America. So, love it.
What are your views of rap?
I love some of it. I mean, it's a great idea. Some of it, I thought the Beastie Boys' first album was absolutely great. I love, was it LL Cool J? Well, I'm the kind of guy. I love all that stuff. I like a lot of rap. I mean, it's some of the rappers, a lot of it is basically how big your willy is, you know, and this sort of nonsense, right, yeah? But some of the rappers, if you actually listen to them, their command of the rhythm, their command of, like, the language is absolutely incredible. And you talk about modern American poetry, some of it. I mean, you know, 90% of everything is crap. 90% of everything, punk, rock, classic, whatever, is going to be rubbish. There's going to be that 10%, which is quality. And some of the rap stuff is absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Drop 90% of your stuff and give us 10%.
Okay, it's by, not by me. This rant is by a bloke called Little Brother, who is a genius. He comes from Bradford, and he looks like a ferret. It's called Minor Bird. And I've probably got all the words wrong, but they'll give you the gist of it. We had to shoot the minor bird just the other day. He started speaking sentences it wasn't taught to say. We tied its wings behind its back and blindfolded its head. Then got me dad's old pellet gun to pump it full of lead. But Mum said it was most uncouth just bumping off the bird. What we need's a Catholic priest to say a few last words. So we popped round to Father O'Rourke's to see if he'd do it for free. He said, piss off, he ain't St. Bleeding Francis of Bleeding Assisi. Dismayed at the father's abruptness, we beat a hasty retreat. He were just like one at family, said me mam as we entered our street. To shoot the bird's inhuman. We're not going to do it like that. We'll poison it slowly. Say a few words, then feed it to the cat. But when we got back from priest's house, it were laying on its side. In amongst its trill were a capsule of cyanide, and scratched on a piece of cuttlefish that were held in its dying clutch. With the words, you don't get me, Mac, I guess I knew too much. There you go.
That's little brother.
That was done in the Yorkshire dialect. Did you get much of that?
Yes.
No, you don't say the. Where has there been since I saw thee? You know, that sort of thing, you know. On Ilkley Moorbart. Yorkshire's like the Texas of England.
Was it like a cluster of all the ranting poets all clustered together in Bradford?
Like leukemia cells, yes. around a nuclear power station. You got it, yeah. That's basically what it's like.
And you feed off of each other or steal from each other?
Well, I live in London now, so we all steal, yeah, steal incredibly. We sort of started off and, you know, we found that other people all over the country were doing a similar sort of thing. I was always in a sort of a ranting movement going. But I mean, you know, what the hell are you? You can have a revolution, you don't, you know, you choose music, you don't really do it in poetry, because most people who write poetry are geeks. It's a bolt hole for every jerk off and inadequate and, you know, refugee from a mental hospital in the world. I mean, you know, people get up there and they go, this is a poem that I wrote when I was incarcerated in you know, the Bellevue Mental Hospital for my 48th nervous breakdown. You go, oh, do us a favour. You know, all right, not knocking people who've been mentally ill, right? It's no joke and it's not funny, right? Yeah. But you don't want to, you know, I personally don't want to hear people doing poems about their mental problems. I want to be educated and informed and entertained. And that's, it was partly a reaction against that introverted thing, the whole 70s thing. Introvert, look inside you, you know? Talking of which, psychiatry, it's a major problem over here, you know? You should round up your psychiatrist and shoot them. They're doing your heads in. Pull your socks upright and externalise your problems. Change the world, change yourself. Okay, next question.
Where do you get so much energy from? You're like, boom,
drugs,
boom, boom,
drugs,
boom.
Drugs. I'm straight edge. No, what do I get my energy from? I have an active thyroid gland. I have actually hyperactive. It's like those kids you see on the television. Blah, blah, blah. You ever get those kids that swear? There's this disease that makes them swear? Oh, it's brilliant. I'm telling you, there's a kid on, right? And his mum said, pass us on. He went, nah! Like, you'd about to beat the whole program. It's like a disease that, you know, he had no control. He just said what he thought all the time. Energy. Yeah, it's life, man.
Because your poems are so, you know, rapid fire paced, and you vary from like real short ones like I Hate You,
well, it's
the Giant Quail, to a long one that you were doing.
Well, it's a real problem. I mean, you've got the FCC breathing down your neck. Yeah, are you listening? You scumbags! You vermin! You filth! You know, so I have to really watch what I say on here. I mean, I've sworn a lot, but you don't have to beep that out. So it's a lot of the stuff is. You see, I don't like gratuitous. No, what the hell is this? People say, oh, yes, but your use of bad language is really gratuitous. Of course it's gratuitous. I mean, what's the point? What's the point of swearing if it's not gratuitous, you know? If you use it as part of your everyday language, right, then that's bad, that's boring. But you got to, like, you know, is that Derek and Clive sketch, right, where he goes, all right, mate, picks up the phone and he goes, all right, mate, how you doing? Yeah, great, all right, how's the kids? Oh, lovely. Puts the phone down and he goes, You have to bleep that word out, right? But it was a word beginning with C, which refers to female genitalia. That was really effective use of swearing. Just like one little sharp shock. And I like to explore the full breadth of the English language. And let's face it, right? There's a book called The Good Soldier Spike, yeah? It's originally written in Serbo-Kraut, I think. It's about a soldier in the First World War, and it's a comedy book. And in the English translation, the bloke has to apologise for the repetition of so few swear words. And he says, it's just because in Serbo-Kraut you can say, I hope the door, this is a swear word, right? I hope the door falls off your outside toilet, or you're getting rid of a meal of cold beer and pickles and sausage as a coachload of German tourists goes by, right, yeah? In England you say bastard. I mean, you know, it's not this. The Anglo-Saxon language is very limited in expletives. So, you know, you try and you find the rhythm of those words and you try and invent new ones. I have a great one which I use, but you wouldn't be able to pronounce it. Think about American swearing. is that you got a lot of Italian stuff in there, and the Italians are probably the best swearers in the world. I mean, they can tell you things about the Virgin Mary's anatomy that you would not believe. Right? It's some really good stuff. Anyway, what was the question? Are you preppies? Is it an audience of preppies? Yeah? Hey, fun. Are you having a good time at college, eh? On the taxpayers' money. I know you have to pay your own way. You're working in restaurants and things, don't you? Yeah, well, that's good. That's really cool. You pay for your college education, you get really boring jobs, move out of the suburbs and rot. Anyway, no, he's probably some really cool students down there, aren't they? I never actually met any. What if students all have crazy hair like you? You should see Steve K's hair. It's down to his shoulder. This is 1989, Steve. You know, got the right time to the nearest decade, you know? I mean, what's he playing? High O Silver Lining, Freebird, Layla, All Right Now, Stairway to Heaven, great stuff. Got any reggae? Sure, we got the police. Anyway, you know, New Wave! Yeah, new punk rock. Yeah. Go on, you were saying.
We're going to wrap it up right now.
Okay, out there in Radio Land, let's mellow out with some cool sounds brought to you by Steve K. Yeah,
go on then.
You could take a job as a radio DJ.
No, a piece of...
If you were, what type of show would you program?
I'd be like Robin Williams in Good Morning, Vietnam! You were close to your speaker then, your ears popped, didn't they? Your blood spurted out of your nostrils, your stomach lining dribbled out through your corner of your mouth. That sort of thing, I'd horrify people. I'd play really spooky music, probably very sexy and very quiet, and you just like shout to them, expecting it right and frying the life out of them. I don't know, I'd have fun doing a radio. Yeah. Hey, anybody out there wants me as a radio disc jockey? You know, fair enough. 40 grand a year, yeah? Okay, to start off?
I wish.
Yeah, whatever. How much do you get paid then?
Nothing.
Nothing? This man is here bringing entertainment to the overeducated masses of American youth. He's getting paid nothing. Send your donations to Radio Tomo, care of Steve K, yeah? Checks, we're talking what? Dollars?
Dollars.
Like it in dollars, yeah? He's not worried about the fact that the dollar is now worth almost nothing on the international currency. He sends dollars, yeah. Anyway, good stuff. So, Steve, it's been a pleasure being here.
Mr. Wells, Seething.
Seething Wells. Yeah, check it out. I've got some shows coming up, yeah?
Yes, mention them.
I mentioned the shows, right? So hang on there. I look through my notebook here and find you some shows.
Man who can memorize 500 lines of a poem but can't remember his shows.
This is right. Deal, see your Dodge dealer. See, I love that. The adverts you have over here are absolutely fantastic.
Have you done any poetry using advert slogans in there?
Well, a lot of the words, I mean, a lot of the words are taken out. Okay, at the 17th, which is that going to be too late?
It's too late.
Okay,
well, it's on the
20th. On the 20th, he's playing the QE2 with... Reb with the Icelandic bands Reptile, Ham, and Blur. Or Bleat, or something. Okay. And the 21st is playing Downtown Beirut with Icelandic bands Reptile, Ham, and Blur. The thing about these bands is, like, they're from Iceland and they're incredibly crazy and silly, because in Iceland everybody believes that gnomes and pixies and elves are for real. Are you the sugar cubes?
Yes.
Bjork, my name is Bjork. It's like someone's throwing up grey stuff. Yeah, yes, does not exist.
Well, it seems they've created their own musical
Dire Straits. Do you hate Dire Straits, Steve? Dire Straits are absolute crap. I mean, Dire Straits are the sound of a dog vomiting into a swimming pool full of, like, dead babies. It is horrible, you know what I mean? Do you like U2? U2, Bono. Bono is the most egotistical, stupid, Christian idiot in the world of rock music. And what a complete fool. You know, how long was we sing this song? Shut up! You know?
So what do you? What's their popularity then? How do you?
God knows. It's people in America buying their records. Stop buying, please. This is England calling. England calling. Stop buying U2 records, please. Stop buying U2 records. No, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And the IRA are involved in a military struggle against the British occupation of Northern Ireland, right? You know, like in Bloody Sunday, where they gunned down a dozen or so people in the streets, the British Army, right? And they wrote this song called "How Long Must We Sing This Song?" And he goes, "This is not a rebel song. Why the hell isn't it a rebel song? You sit on the fence, liberal jerk off, you know." Anyway, yeah,
so who are you listening to? Then?
Musically. I like Public Enemy at the moment. Who else do I like musically? The Monkees, a great band. The Monkees, check them out, kids. Populate Yourself, good band. Populate Yourself, Gay Bikers and Acid, The Three Johns,
Tragic Mulatto,
Great band. I still play a lot of old Dead Kennedy stuff. I'll, oh yeah, Jesus Jones. Check out a band called Jesus Jones. They go, it's like, I'll sing it for you. Info, freako, there is no end to what I want to know. I have a terrible singing voice, but I used to sing in Bradford Boys Cathedral Choir. Believe it or not. The Lord's my shepherd, oh, not what... And basically, they're a cross between this band, Jesus Jones. They're a cross between the Monkees, Duran Duran, the Beatles, and the Clash. I mean, with a bit of Public Enemy thrown in there. Can anyone out there do the... Hey, listen out there, people. You know, like, everybody can do, like, one weird thing. Like, they take an eyeball out, or they can, like, you know, wiggle their nostrils. I can go... That's with my mouth. Anybody out there do it? Let's get a club together of, like, you know, people can go... And perhaps we'll find that we have more in common than just that. Perhaps we'll find that we have in common a love of humanity and an appreciation of the culture that America has given them. I'd like to say thank you now. Thank you. Hey, America, I'd like to say thank you for Burger King. I'd like to say thank you for McDonald's. I'd like to say thank you for the Johnny Carson show, which we get in England, Dublin to Cockney, which is all good stuff. Oh, it's an happy holiday with Mary. Mary makes the world seem bright. Great stuff. Thank you very much. Okay, Vietnam, that was a bugger, wasn't it? Anyway, here we go. I mean, what I can't figure about Vietnam, like, you got Rambo and you got the A-Team, right, yeah? If America, if you lot had so many super soldiers out there, how come King Kong kicked your ass, eh? 1-0. Anyway, what we're saying. Now, Vietnam was a good war. You know why Vietnam was a good war? Because America lost it. And the reason America lost in Vietnam is the same reason that the Russians lost in Afghanistan. And what that reason is, I don't know. But what it basically means is that both countries now are scared to go throwing their weight around. The only reason America's not in Nicaragua is because they lost in Vietnam. The only reason Russian troops aren't in Poland... or in Hungary, it's because they lost in Afghanistan. It's a good when superpowers lose wars, it's good for the little people, you know? The little people like you and me, you know? People who pay taxes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay, next question.
What about the Falklands?
The Falklands. Well, that was a piece of crap, wasn't it? No, I feel proud that, you know, 1,000 working class kids from both sides had to die over a lump of seagull guano spattered rock in the South Atlantic. That war was fought in the interests of the oil companies. Basically, you know, it's like Nixon put into power a fascist regime in Chile. Basically for the sake of American companies. It's the same as Shell Oil, you know. There's oil under that. Is it the Antarctic down there? Yeah. You know? So Britain had to fight a war over a lump of bloody rock. Oh, what gets me is, if Britain's willing to fight a war over the Falklands, why isn't it willing to fight a war over Hong Kong? Two reasons, right? One is, if Britain took on China, it would lose. You know, day one of the war. China won, Britain nil. Second thing is, the people in Hong Kong aren't white. You know, I come over Britain, I ever go to America. I realize that Britain is like America's poodle. He got the American eagle, right? Yep. Turn it around, and there's this poodle with its nose rammed straight up the sweaty beep beep of the Uncle Sam the eagle. You know what we're talking about, you know? You know? Hey, check out a book. Hey, people out there, it's a book by Alan Moore called Brought to Light, yeah? Which is the history of the CIA in comic book form, right? Yeah? You even have a smidgen of patriotism about the country that you live in. You should read that and find out that this country, the United States of America, with Britain as its ally and its accomplice, is up to its neck in blood. I mean, seriously, you think the KGB are bad? You think of murder, whatever? And I know a lot of you are saying, oh, why are you telling us something he doesn't know? I think there's a problem. A lot of people don't know this. And if you do know it, then, you know, I think you need to be reminded occasionally. It's a sick world we live in, you know?
Yes.
Everything is upside down. It's like, I think if you're a revolutionary or a socialist or any kind of person with any sort of, like, real grief of what's going on in the world, you spend half the time thinking you're going mad, you know? It's something like George Bush. George Bush is a drug dealer, you know? George Bush is like is worse than the scum on the street who sell crack to kids in schools. You know, George Bush is worse than that. You know, it's like, because I mean, that man ran the CIA, for God's sake. And, you know, Genghis Khan. It's like remember Dr. Crippen, Charles Manson for president. That's what I say. Let's go the whole hog, right? Let's have a crazed hippie with a swastika tattoo on his forehead. Actually, he should make the cabinet. Anyway, what was the question?
One last poem.
Oh, a woman stands, bushes sharp, stands in line to buy a chop. A fur is real, hair is fake, got a poodle on a lean, she buys its steak. Hit it! This poem is called Dan Quayle is as fluffy as the lining of my pocket. And it goes like this. Dan Quayle is as fluffy as the lining of my pocket. I like to gouge his eyes out and f*** him in the socket. Thank you. There you go. That was actually made up on the spot. I mean, I haven't got anything I can do that isn't completely rude. The word that he beat there was... Yeah. Anyway, was this what you expected? I mean, were you expecting more like poems and less crap?
No, I expected this totally.
You expected this totally, did you? I'm glad.
Nick had warned me.
Nick warned. Nick Toczek. Nick Toczek is a great guy. Nothing wrong with Nick Toczek that a good bath and a course of electric shock therapy couldn't cure. Hey, out there in America, this is Stephen Wells saying thank you for listening. Have a nice day. I mean, what is this? Why is everyone so polite to you? Don't tip. Stop tipping. Tipping subsidised low wages. And most waiters and waitresses don't. That's crap, isn't it? You want the soup poured in your life? I like that. Also, they say easy over. I like that with your eggs. You have a choice with your eggs. That's only in America. Only great stuff. Freedom, democracy, liberty, senility.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Seething Wells here in the studios of WUSB, playing in the city next two nights. If you want to get in touch with Mr. Wells, you can write to him care of Nick Toczek. You just write Stephen Wells, 5 Beach Terrace, Undercliff, Bradford, West Yorkshire, BD30PY, England. The address once again for Stephen Wells if you want to write to him. 5 Beach Terrace, Undercliff, Bradford, West Yorkshire, BD30PY, England. 12:30 on a Wednesday night. That's going to wrap it up for me, Steve Kreitzer. I'll be back again next Wednesday night at 10:30. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and I hope you enjoyed Mr. Wells. We're going to end up tonight's show with a piece from a Canadian band featuring Gene Smith on vocals and David Lester on guitar. They were part of the Black Wedge Tour here in America last few years, actually, and they're going to give us a piece called One Woman. Dawn Marie should be coming in next with Power Surge. Have yourself a safe and a nice week. See you next week.
One woman said, like the way things are going. One woman said, I think I'll change it all. One woman, she took out a suitcase. She drove to Washington, D.C. Things began to happen. People, they listened to what she said. One woman said, let's stop the lies about the